I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
And now,
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. A very happy Friday to you, a game day Friday. The show is always brought to you by Any Hour Services. No one helps more homeowners than Any Hour Services. Call or schedule online, anyhourservices.com. But we are live at Peach Doors and Windows. Stop on by, say hi today. We'd love to have you come on down, hang out. We're going to be here until noon. We love being down here at Peach in Salt Lake City. Cindy's going to jump on and talk to us about the latest technology with doors and windows, 2940 South and 300 West. Of course, you can call and schedule your in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. They will completely customize your home, your doors, your windows, whatever you're looking for. They will take care of it for you. They'll knock out that big wall you have, put in windows, make them sliding glass doors, whatever you're looking for. Peach will take care of you. Again, we're going to be here until noon, 2940 South, 300 West. Appreciate you sticking with us. You heard Justin Zanuck and Will Hardy in the last segment for about the last 45 minutes as they talked with the Utah Jazz preparing to open up Media Day. I thought they touched on some interesting points. We'll talk about those coming up in the top three stories in about 20 minutes. But we are going to catch up with our Utah and BYU insiders as we do every Friday. Mitch Harper's going to join us in the first segment with Michelle traveling to Corvallis as the Utes get ready to take on Oregon State tonight. But huge games for both teams that could determine their ceilings for the rest of the year. BYU certainly trying to make sure that they're going to cruise into a bowl game. And look, the nice thing about being in a conference is even if you lose game one, you're not necessarily out of the running for a conference championship. And for Utah, you still hope to win that Pac-12 title, and you are undefeated so far on the season. You're looking to keep that going against Oregon State. So welcome in our BYU insider. You can read him at kslsports.com. You can find him on the 1st and 12th show every Sunday, and then find the podcast as well. It is Mitch Harper. Mitch, thanks for jumping on.
You bet, Ben.
So, Mitch, I guess after losing game one against Kansas, has BYU's goals for the season changed? Have they had to recalibrate what they think they can do this year?
I don't think they've recalibrated. I think that they still believe that they can be in the upper grouping of the Big 12, maybe, you know, top five. I think that's a goal that could be attainable, but it definitely starts tonight because, you know, the next four games, you're going to probably be an underdog if you're BYU. And if you don't get this one, then bowl eligibility becomes in doubt because this is the one game that's a clear tight toss-up. Where next month, I think every game is going to be a decisive underdog for BYU, including Texas Tech, who's lost Three games out of the gate, but they still got a lot of speed on the edges. So this is an important game for BYU, and I think it's a confidence builder if they can get it, because you don't want to have to deal with when are you going to get your first Big 12 win. Just get it done tonight, and this should be a tough physical matchup between BYU and Cincinnati.
Yeah, the line has moved actually in favor of BYU. It says it's even right now, the over-under set at 49, and not that I care about the gambling aspect of it, but yesterday that was Cincinnati was a two-point favorite. ESPN's analytics has Cincinnati winning this game 57% of the time to BYU 42%. I guess I was surprised by that. I know we had you on the show on Wednesday, but what have you seen from the Cincinnati team that makes them a threat to beat BYU in Provo?
They have an elite defensive line, and they've got a really good secondary as well. Whereas BYU, they're good in a lot of spots, but where do you say they're elite? Right now, there's nothing that you say BYU hangs their hat on and says, yes, that is BYU's strength. They're in the best in the Big 12 at that position. Cincinnati might have the best defensive line in the Big 12. And when you have something that's elite, that's going to give you a chance to have success, especially against the BYU offensive line that has underperformed. I think the BYU offensive line has been the root of the cause of the struggles at on the ground game. 224 yards through 4 weeks. That's the lowest output on the ground since 2004. BYU, under Kalani, they've always had a good ground game. Jamal Williams, Tyler Algier, Tyson Williams, Chris Brooks. And it's just been non-existent. The talent's still there. LJ Martin's good. Deion Smith's good. Aiden Robbins is not expected to play tonight. He's still dealing with an injury. But, talent's there. It's just the offensive line has underperformed. And I'll be curious to see if they have any sort of changes to that offensive line. Waylon Lopuaho's dealing with a left arm injury. Don't expect him to play tonight. So that leaves open the left guard spot. Where do they go there? They could go Ian Fitzgerald. Maybe they retool it all together. Maybe they put Paul Miley. Maybe they bring Connor Pay to center. Something's got to change, though, because what's been happening the past few weeks is not getting it done. The good thing, though, too, for BYU in these spots where you're looking at maybe they're an underdog, maybe it's a toss-up, Kalani's teams are always good as a home underdog. They've won four out of the last five as a home dog in these spots. So typically when the wise guys in the desert think low of BYU at home, they seem to perform well under Kalani.
I've been looking at Cincinnati a little bit, Mitch. Emory Jones, their quarterback, is not inspiring a lot of confidence if you're a Bearcats fan. Last two games, four interceptions, no touchdowns. He started the year well with seven touchdowns and one interception, but that offense is trending the wrong direction. They've scored fewer and fewer points every week. Can this Cincinnati offense threaten BYU?
I don't think so. I think this is going to be a game, honestly, that is a lot like Sam Houston game in week one, where you hope for BYU's sake that they don't have as, inept of an offensive performance as that one. But I think this is going to be a low scoring game. I do. I think that, Cincinnati's offense is, you're right. I mean, it's trending backwards. They had accounted for seven touchdowns. Emory Jones did in week one against an FCS team since. It's been a mess, and he's had five interceptions through the first 4 weeks of the season. He's looking a lot like the guy that got ran out of Tempe last year and really got ran out in Florida. So I think whereas Keaton Slovis, I think he's on his third year like Emory Jones. I think Slovis, though, is fitting a lot better, and he's doing a nice job. I mean, last week he had to throw 51 times, one dimension. I still think he did pretty well, all things considered, with how inept BYU's running game was. So definitely BYU has the edge there at quarterback, and I think that's why I feel optimistic that BYU comes away with a win in this one.
Can BYU win this game if they aren't able to run the ball?
I think so, because, again, I think that Cincinnati's offense is not good at all. They had to completely revamp their entire wide receiver unit with a lot of post-spring transfer portal additions. They've got some talent, but I think BYU's defense, led by Jay Hill, I think they will be ready for the task. And I was talking with Tyler Batty this week, BYU captain and defensive end, and he feels that, and it could be player speak, we'll see. But I think that, there was a sense around the team that there was a resolve to kind of get back on track, and they're not letting one loss sink them, as it happened, you know, so many times last year and in other years where you lose one game and it just the sails of the season were just shot. I think that there's this feeling of, hey, nothing's lost. You know, everything's still in front of you. You control your destiny with games in the future against Texas and Oklahoma. You still control your fate. And, you know, so get right this week against Cincinnati. And I think BYU's defense will definitely be up for the task. And I think they'll suffocate Cincinnati quite a bit to where, you know, I think BYU, even if they are one-dimensional again, they could still squeeze out a victory.
We're about, 10 hours until game time here down in Provo. What's the latest with the injuries? Who do we expect to play and who do we don't think is going to play?
Big question is going to be Ben Bywater. You know, he's dealing with a right shoulder injury. And, you know, it's he wasn't at practice on Tuesday. And, again, we don't get to see practice, but the fact that he just wasn't there. I think on a short week, that's significant when he's not on the field on Tuesday. So, you know, I'm not expecting to see Ben Bywater tonight. And replacing him would be Harrison Taggart, Oregon transfer, former Corner Canyon product, four-star recruit. Great athlete. I mean, he's an overall all-around athlete on the defensive side. He's one of the better ones. And Jay Hill trusts him. And I think that's what's interesting about Harrison Taggart is that I think that he'll have a lot thrown at him. It won't be the same workload as far as, you know, calling defensive plays and being, you know, as much on his plate as, say, Ben Bywater would have. But, you know, Taggart at that Mac linebacker spot, they feel like the performance of the defense shouldn't drop if he steps in. So I think Taggart would step in. I will be monitoring a little bit of left tackle Kingsley Suamataia. The initial indication on him, because he left that Kansas game, was that he had a bruised thigh. Again, you kind of want to be delicate with him because he's so critical to BYU's season, and he's got a bright future ahead. He was dealing with the right leg, that bruised thigh. So just kind of see how he performs in warmups. I expect that he should play. Aaron Roderick said that he will be okay, but still, it's just something that you over the course of time, over the week, how does it still feel? That's something I'll be monitoring coming into tonight as well.
Find him on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper. Read him at KSLSports.com. And, of course, now catch 1st and 12 Sundays from 10 to noon right here on The Zone as Mitch Harper and Alex Keery break down the latest with the Big 12. Mitch, great stuff. Enjoyed the game tonight. We'll be watching for your coverage.
Thanks, Ben. Take care.
There he is, Mitch Harper, our BYU insider, giving us a breakdown as BYU prepares to take on Cincinnati tonight. We are live at Peach Doors and Windows in Salt Lake City. Stop on by and see us, 2940 South, 300 West. You can also give him a call, 801-566-1255. Cindy joins us, as she does every time we come down, and we love to see her. I know she's as excited for the NBA season as we are. You were watching the Ryder Cup last night, so you speak our language, but I want to speak your language, and that is doors and windows, Cindy. I think when people think of, hey, I'm replacing a wall with a big sliding glass door or a window because I want to bring that light in, it feels intimidating. It feels like a big project. How difficult is it to do something like that if it's something somebody's never done?
It can sound so overwhelming, and you don't know where to turn. But we want you to come in and let us help you start with a design, get your input, give you the possibilities. Then we may need to go to where the project needs some engineering. We can take care of all that. But what we want to do is help you unlock the potential of your home. And we know everybody's looking at their home and going, what can we change? What can we do different? And a lot of times the builders have not taken advantage of your view. And when you look around right now, there is a view everywhere. Incredible views in the place we live. Like, I just was at a home in Heber, and we had just taken out a small patio door and put in a large 14-foot by 10-foot door.
Wow.
And they have these incredible fall views of Mount Timpanogos, and they love it so much, they're ordered another door to do the same thing in their master bedroom. Take out a small patio door, put in a big door with all this glass. We have this really thin frame product, so you just utilize all the glass for viewing space. And we can just unlock the potential of your home that you didn't even realize was there. And it's crazy because transformations do begin with windows and doors of your home.
I think a lot of people are probably like me and like, oh, I want to drive up the canyon this weekend because I want to see the colors. It's like, you shouldn't have to leave your house to see the colors of our beautiful city and of our beautiful state. You can bring those in because you do have options. And it's not just, oh, well, I'm going to upgrade my windows or I'm going to upgrade my door. Maybe I put a window where I've just never had one before in my house. And like you said, yeah, my builders who built it 50 years ago, 60 years ago, weren't even thinking that that's what this was going to be looking like or what I would need in 2023.
Well, and the home I was just speaking of is a newer home. But for some reason, they didn't take advantage of the views they had. And they had incredible views of the mountains. And of course, you know, the changing colors right now. So that's what we want to do is help you bring the outdoors in. It puts so much more light in your home. And it makes your home feel larger and more spacious. And the crazy thing is it just gives you the most peaceful feeling to be in your home, to just bring that outdoors in.
Well, and you know what? You want to enjoy your house. It's also going to increase the value of your house. If you ever find yourself selling your house and you've got those beautiful views, that's going to be even better. Stop by and see us, 2940 South, 300 West. Give them a call. Schedule your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, 801-566-1255, or check them out online, peachbuildingproducts.com. It's Peach Doors and Windows. Cindy, thanks for jumping on.
Thanks, Ben.
Top three stories coming up next. Stick around. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Down the biggest stories of the day. This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Time for the top three stories at KSLSports.com, brought to you by our friends at J. Brooks Jewelers, with two locations up and down the Wasatch Front in Murray and Lehigh. We are very quickly getting to that holiday season. If you're looking for some jewelry, now is the time to start thinking about it. And J. Brooks will take care of you with their wonderful staff at both locations. All right, Sarah, top three stories. What's number one?
All right, number one, it's game day for BYU and Utah.
Yeah, very exciting. Fun to talk to Mitch Harper in the last segment. I feel encouraged after talking to Mitch that this Cincinnati offense, and you heard Jay Hill there, yeah, he was, you know, talking about how athletic the quarterback is. Not necessarily talking about how accurate the quarterback is. Four interceptions in the last two games, no touchdowns. And they're playing okay teams, but I think losing to Miami of Ohio should give BYU some encouragement that they're going to have a great chance to win this game, especially at home, bouncing back against Kansas. And I would pick BYU to win this game. The line has moved from Cincinnati favored to even in this game. I was surprised that Cincinnati was even favored yesterday. And then, of course, the big game tonight for Utah, traveling up to Corvallis to take on Oregon State. The question remains, who's going to be starting at quarterback for Utah? I don't feel like there's as much optimism this week that Cam Rising will start as there was even last week. And, you know, again, maybe that was just a show, or maybe Cam Rising does jump out. Utah has been very good about playing these cards close to their chest. But if you don't play him this weekend, A, I think you still have a chance to beat Oregon State because Utah's defense has been so dominant, because BYU is not, or excuse me, because Oregon State's not getting a ton out of DJ Uiagalelei in his last two games. He's a little mercurial as a quarterback. His performance could dictate what happens in this game. Otherwise, it's going to be two teams trying to run the ball, trying to rely on their defenses. And then you hope to win the turnover battle. And as long as Uiagalelei isn't throwing the ball away, Oregon State hasn't turned the ball over this year. They have not fumbled yet this season, and I think that is something Utah is going to have to try and force. It obviously gave them the big edge against Oregon State, or excuse me, against UCLA, and it put them in a spot where they didn't have to test Nate Johnson. They didn't have to see everything that he was able to do playing a traditional quarterback spot. They were able to just put him in some conservative situations, not throw the ball unless they absolutely had to. And they didn't, so we're waiting to see what it'll look like if Utah does ever fully open up the offense for Nate Johnson. They may find themselves in a spot tonight if he starts and they're down against Oregon State, which is something he has not had to face, having to make some more throws, having to be a little bit more dynamic than he's been so far this season. We will talk to Michelle Bodkin coming up at 11:05, giving us a breakdown on what she expects to see tonight and who she expects to see starting a quarterback. Also got questions about Jaquindon Jackson at running back and if he's going to be available or if Utah chooses to rest him with the week coming, the bye week coming next week, if they can buy 2 weeks of time off of that ankle for him so he can get back and close to 100% as Utah goes on that stretch run of seven games that will likely determine the outcome of their season and whether or not they can repeat for the third year as Pac-12 champions. So make sure and stick around for that. Michelle Bodkin coming up at 11:05. Sarah, number two.
Will Hardy and Justin Zanuck talk to the media.
Yeah, about 45 minutes. They went for a long time today. We had Utah Jazz media training camp yesterday. Got to talk to Will Hardy a little bit as well. He was kind of floating around the gym, meet some of the new coaches. But you heard a lot. If you missed that press conference, you can go find it at kslsports.com. I'll have a write-up on it later today as well. But a lot of the conversation is about the changing roles of players, and I think that's because you're inserting a guy like John Collins, who is one of the more, I don't want to say unique players in the NBA, but you've got to figure out exactly what his fit is on a front court that I actually thought was pretty solid for the Jazz last year. We know how good Lauri Markkanen is, borderline all-NBA player, all-star starter, and Walker Kessler was a no-brainer all-rookie first-team member. That, you know, those two are the staples of your front court, and Kelly Olynyk was so versatile playing really kind of the four for the Jazz last season. What's he going to do this year as I suspect Kelly Olynyk gets moved to the bench and John Collins steps in and takes that starting spot over? John Collins adds a bunch of athleticism, not as much of a floor spacer. He's more of a roller. Do the Jazz have to use him as a five then? How does that fit with Walker Kessler? Does one of those guys have to start stepping out and hitting threes more consistently? If Collins can do that at a high 30% clip like he had done at times in Atlanta, I think that'll be very beneficial. But his role changed in the last couple of seasons with Trae Young's emergence as a borderline superstar, and it just kind of took the ball out of John Collins' hands. So how do you find a way to keep him involved offensively, and then what's his best opportunity to contribute on the defensive end? I think those are going to be big questions, and you heard Will Hardy address those, and it seems like they don't quite know yet. I mean, they've had OTAs, they've had opportunities for these guys to get on the court, but the coaches don't get to work with them, so they can kind of just see what these guys are basically doing in pickup. And starting on Monday, they will fly to Hawaii. Tuesday, you're going to really get them on the court, and I'm sure the Jazz are going to start testing exactly what that's going to look like. And one of the things I had talked about on both the Jazz Notes podcast that I record every Tuesday, and at times here with Jake and with David Locke, is that maybe John Collins is actually your backup five. I know you went out and signed Omer Yurtseven this year, but maybe John Collins gets more of those minutes near the hoop where he is such a dangerous dunker and pick-and-roll threat. And he plays with whoever the Jazz are choosing to use at guard. And then you have Kelly Olynyk come in and be the backup four. And those two can still play together and kind of interchange defensively on what the best matchup is. But on the offensive side of the ball, you keep John Collins near the rim and see if he can be effective that way. That's not something he was able to do a whole lot in Atlanta just because of the personnel that they like to play. Did a little bit more with Quinn Snyder late in the year, and I thought actually you saw his numbers improve, including his three-point shooting. So that will be key for the Jazz this year, figuring out what they're going to do in the backcourt. You heard Will Hardy say, you know, last year going into the season, you had Mike Conley. You had a point guard. You knew who he was going to be, and he was going to be your floor general. They don't have that this year. They don't have a guy who you point at and say, well, that's obviously the point guard who's, you know, played 1,000 games in the NBA at that position. The Jazz have guards. They have more a less traditional backcourt. So does Jordan Clarkson get more point guard opportunities? Does Chris Dunn sneak in there? What about Talen Horton-Tucker? Can Colin Sexton jump into that mix as a starter after being the sixth man last year? And then, of course, Keyonte George, who looks so good in summer league. What does that do to translate? How quickly can he gain the trust of his teammates once he actually gets on the floor in Utah? Those are going to be big questions as well. And I suspect we will start to get some answers next week as the team is in Hawaii. You'll get full coverage at kslsports.com. Sarah, number three.
Number three, the Lions beat the Packers last night, and we look forward to more NFL this weekend.
Not a great start to the game from Jordan Love. He's had back-to-back slow starts, was really bad for the first three quarters last Sunday, and then bounced back and obviously had the 18-point fourth quarter to get the win. Was much better in the second half yesterday against the Lions, but it was too little too late. Look, Sarah, I just think the Lions look like the real deal this year, and I know that's a weird thing to say because I literally have not been able to say that at any point in my life, but they're just playing at a very high level. That defense is dominant. That defensive line is very scary. They've got playmakers now on the offensive side of the ball, like Amon-Ra St. Brown. We saw what he was able to do in college. That's just a good team. And the Packers were going to be entering a bit of a rebuilding year anyways, losing Aaron Rodgers and starting over at the Jordan Love era. I know there were hopes that he would step in right away and, you know, operate at that same level. I think he's been promising enough and shows he can make enough of the throws and is dangerous enough with his legs that he's going to be a good playmaker and can be a starter going forward, but it's still going to take a while. 23 of 36, 246 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, but did get a touchdown on the ground as well. There's something there with Jordan Love. I think it's just going to take a little bit of time to develop him. I was not skeptical, but curious what the Lions' run game was going to look like after replacing Jamal Williams. Remember, he led the league last year in touchdowns. David Montgomery has absolutely picked up where Jamal Williams left off. He was with the Bears a year before. 32 carries, 121 yards, three touchdowns. He was absolutely incredible last night. And then I think we have a good slate of NFL games coming up this weekend. I think the best, certainly, that we're going to be watching is the Dolphins and the Bills, two undefeated teams. The Bills lost to the Jets to open the season. The Dolphins are undefeated, but that's going to be an absolutely fabulous game coming up on Sunday. That's one I'm very excited for. And we do get another chance to see Zach Wilson in a tough environment at home, but playing against Taylor Swift and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that's going to be a difficult game. For the Jets, we will see if they're able to bounce back there. This might be Zach Wilson's last week as the starter if he's not able to get something going. They've gone out and added a practice quarterback in, Trevor Siemian that they've gone out and added. So they are clearly looking at other options in New York if they don't feel like Zach Wilson's able to get it done. And look, this Kansas City team is very good. This is going to be a tough game for them this weekend. Zach Wilson could go a long way towards earning that starting job long term if he's able to play well this weekend. I'm not necessarily betting on it, but it would be a nice opportunity for him to pick up a win. And then the Monday night matchup, Seattle versus New York. Not a great game as they continue to throw the New York Giants on our television for some unknown reason. That's your top three stories at KSL Sports, brought to you by J. Brooks Jewelers. Sarah, let's get into a view into the Big 12.
A look at the landscape of college football. It's a view into the Big 12, brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know, offensively, got a transfer quarterback, Slovis, that we played against last year when he was at Pitt. You know, a little bit like Emory. I mean, this is his third school and played a lot of ball. Very experienced player, very poised, throws a really good ball, catchable ball. Probably not going to rattle him, you know, anything that you're doing defensively. You know, a very solid player and really has helped them to, you know, get off on this start that they're on right now.
That's Cincinnati head coach Scott Satterfield on what he's seen so far from Keaton Slovis. And I think, after what happened against Sam Houston, it was pretty underwhelming, the performance from Keaton Slovis, but I think he's gotten steadily better every week. And through four games, you'll take 1,000 yards, eight touchdowns, and three interceptions, especially considering those interceptions came early. If he can continue to knock some of those off, clean it up, you don't want to see the two interceptions that he had in the last game against Kansas, which certainly those hurt. They weren't both on him necessarily. There was a drop pass, I thought, that could have been caught. But BYU is going to need to clean up those turnovers. But I think you're right. I don't think Keaton Slovis is going to be rattled in this game. And it's why I don't think it's a bad thing that BYU does have a one-year starter coming in. He's been in big situations, both of his previous stops in college. He's going to know how to bounce back after a loss to a team like Kansas to beat a team like Cincinnati. I think that's going to be key for BYU. And until they get that running game going, they're really going to rely on his arm talent. I don't know if you want him passing the ball 50 times like he did against Kansas, but I think there's going to be a healthy medium there. And if BYU can establish the run, I think it'll make Keaton Slovis all the more efficient. But a big opportunity for him tonight to get BYU back on track. And a view into the Big 12 is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, and we are hanging out live at Peach, 801-566-1255, or you can stop by and see us. We'll be here until noon, 2940 South and 300 West in Salt Lake City. We've got candy. We've got some jackets. We've got a little bit of jazz gear still hanging out. So if you're in the area, you want to swing by, say hi. We'd love to meet you, say hi. But again, give Peach Doors and Windows a call today. Schedule your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, or check them out online, peachbuildingproducts.com. When we come back, we'll continue to look at the college football weekend. Michelle Bodkin will join us coming up at 11:05. Stick around. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
For the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. It's a huge battle for the Utes as they hit the road to take on Oregon State. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, presented by Any Hour Services on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. A very happy Friday to you. Appreciate you tuning in. Game day, both BYU and Utah in action tonight. But don't miss your chance every Wednesday to win big on the KSL Sports Zone. Listen to KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win tickets throughout all four shows every Wednesday. Yeah, weather looking a little bit rainy this evening. Certainly going to be a slog up in Corvallis. I don't expect a lot of points from either team in this game. I think we're going to see more points scored in Provo as BYU takes on Cincinnati, though I know Mitch Harper wasn't super optimistic about BYU's ability to move the ball on the ground against this Cincinnati front, which should be pretty intimidating. And then a good run of games coming up tomorrow early. You're going to have Colorado hosting USC. We'll see if Colorado can bounce back after that ugly loss to Oregon last week. That game kicks off at 10 a.m. You've got another couple of good top 25 matchups. Kansas, after beating BYU, is on the road at number 3 Texas. I think that's an interesting game. See if Ole Miss can bounce back after their loss to Alabama last week as they take on LSU. Notre Dame, number 11, after their loss to to Ohio State, is taking on Duke this weekend, one of the underdog favorites in the ACC as well. So some good top 25 matchups coming up this weekend. I think it's something to be excited for. And you know what? I like when your teams play on Friday night, because Saturday night you can just sit back and enjoy the football all day long. You don't have to wait for your team to play. You don't have to be monitoring what your team's doing. You can just focus on the other Saturday games. And I know a lot of you local fans will be doing that as well. If you are looking to upgrade your home, you've got beautiful opportunities to bring in light outdoors. But you know what? Maybe it's just the curb appeal. Maybe it's something as simple as you're not replacing a window. You just want to make sure when your neighbors walk by or when you're coming home from work, you're using your front door. Maybe you just want to feel a little warmer, a little more welcome when you're coming in. And that is something you can do here at Peach Doors and Windows, Cindy. It's not just big bifolding doors, Italian doors and windows that we have. It's some of these nice just front doors that you have that can totally change the look of your home.
That's right. For 30 years, we've been helping people who are ready for a change of their front door to come up with a new design, a new color. And right now, maybe your front door is drafty. It doesn't lock tight. Maybe it doesn't feel secure anymore. So we want to help you with all those things. We had a customer we put a new front door in for, and she caught on Ring camera doorbell. The SWAT team showed up to her new front door.
Oh, no.
The wrong address, of course. And they tried to break in the new front door we had just put in for her, and they were not able to break it down.
SWAT proof.
So that's one thing is not all doors are created equal, and we have been selling a premium front door and in fiberglass that's very maintenance-free. that is more secure because it's a heavier door. It's more energy efficient, and it's just what we've been selling for years. That's just quality that's going to last the lifetime and upgrade your home.
Cindy, I think a lot of people, and you know, I'm guilty of this as well. You know, the front door that your house came with when you bought it is something that the contractor just slapped in there, and they probably got it at Home Depot, which is the same place that they got your cabinets, which is the same place they got their floor, which is the same place they got your drywall. You know, it's just kind of, it was there, and it was probably the cheapest option when they put it in. And maybe when you were first buying your house, you were younger, and that's, you're saying, okay, it's just, it's affordable, it's easy to do, it's the bottom of the line, but right now it'll get us quite literally in the front door. You just don't have to live with that door the rest of your life, nor do you have to go back to those big box stores to replace your front door. There are a ton of different options to really customize it to bring your personality out of your home.
Well, and you think a door is a door, but they're not all created equal. And you do get what you pay for. And we can provide you with a new front door that's secure, that's a modern design, that has all the... If you want a lot of glass, if you want a little glass, if you want no glass, you want a solid front door, whether you want wood, fiberglass, iron, all metal. So we have all those options. And the first thing people see when they come to your home is your front door. So why not make it a great front door? And if you're ready for a change, come into our showroom and look at all the possibilities. And we can do a lot of customization if you see something you want included that you're not seeing at a big box store.
Stop on by and see us today, 2940 South, 300 West. Give them a call. Schedule your free in-home estimate. Their builders can come out, take a look, give you some ideas. Maybe you don't even know what you want in your house. They can help you with some ideas, 801-566-1255, 801-566-1255, or check them out online, peachbuildingproducts.com. But come on down. Check out the showroom. See the different options that they have. Cindy and the staff are absolutely wonderful, helpful, low-pressure environment. You're going to enjoy your time checking out the latest technology with doors and windows that you're not going to find anywhere else, including the new European tilt and turn windows. I want to talk about those next because you've showed them to us and they're very cool. So we'll do that coming up. But Cindy at Peach Doors and Windows, thanks for having us down here.
Thanks, Ben.
Michelle Bodkin's going to join us coming up next. Stick around. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's Friday, and it's time to talk some football. This is Football Friday on The Zone. Presented by Utah First Credit Union. Get a judgment-free auto loan at utahfirst.com. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Football Fridays are presented by Utah First Credit Union. No judgments, just auto loans for all credit types. Apply online today, utahfirst.com. It's utahfirst.com. We are live at Peach Doors and Windows in Salt Lake City, 2940 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. Come on by and see us. Going to be here until noon today, but you can always check them out online. peachbuildingproducts.com, peachbuildingproducts.com, or you can give them a call and schedule your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, 801-566-1255. Totally change the feel of your home. You can increase the value of your home. You can increase the efficiency of your home. You can do it all in one fell swoop with Peach Doors and Windows. We're going to talk to Michelle Bodkin coming up here in just a moment as the University of Utah traveled up to Corvallis. I think it was yesterday they flew up there. Maybe it was 2 days ago as they get ready to take on the Oregon State Beavers tonight. And what's a potentially huge game for the end of the season? I don't think Utah's hopes of winning the Pac-12 are dashed if they don't win tonight, but it would certainly help if they could get through the first half of their schedule unscathed going into their bye week and coming back against Cal at home on October 14th. Let's welcome in our next guest. She is our University of Utah insider at KSLSports.com. It is Michelle Bodkin. What's going on, Michelle?
I am just enjoying the Portland traffic.
Oh, is it?
Is that is what I am doing right now.
Is it rainy? How's the weather?
It's not rainy. It's a little overcast, pretty warm. But oh man, I forgot how bad it is getting out of Portland. and how bad driving in Oregon is.
It's not the easiest thing to do. And you're right. You know, it's always gray. That's not unusual. Do we know what to expect tonight? I've looked at the weather a little bit, and I'm seeing possible chance of rainstorms, maybe a little rain coming up starting at 1 p.m., but not super heavy.
Yeah, that my impression is whatever rain is supposed to happen today happens earlier and clears off before the game. But, I mean, we all know weather forecasts aren't necessarily always the most accurate thing ever. So, I mean, it could potentially rain for the game, but at least as of right now, they're saying it should be done and over with by then.
All right, I want to talk to you about Oregon State coming up here in just a minute, what you've seen from them so far this season. But let's start with Utah, and unfortunately, let's start with the same question I've been asking you for 2.5 months now. What's the deal with Cam Rising? What do we expect tonight?
I am unfortunately not expecting Cam Rising once again. I know it's such a frustrating situation for the fans, but especially for Cam and the coaches. It once again sounds like it was a situation where things looked really, really good early in the week, and something came up towards the end of the week, and it changed the plan. So unless something else has changed or will change, I'm going into this expecting no Cam Rising once again.
And I hate to just put you on the spot here, then. Do you expect him back, A, this year? And B, do you expect him back as soon as, you know, after the bye week against Cal? Like, do you feel like it's actually getting to a point where he may not play at all, or do you expect to see him back this season?
I still expect to see him back. It's just one of those stupid, unfortunate things from what I can kind of gather and understand. It's not like it's a setback or, you know, that he's gone re-injured or there's an issue with the surgery. It's just... I don't know. I think I kind of explained it to you. It's like trying to lose weight. You lose the first, 30 pounds super, super fast, and you think, oh, this is going to be a breeze, and then for whatever reason, you get hung up on the last 5 pounds. And that's just kind of where Cam's at. Everything was a breeze. Everything's gone really well. But for whatever reason, whatever the doctors want to see from him to get that final clearance, it just hasn't worked out yet. But I do think he plays eventually. Again, this isn't like anything serious. It's just a frustration.
Michelle, what about some of the other offensive weapons for the University of Utah, specifically Jaquindon Jackson, who's been in and out of the lineup in the backfield for Utah? Seems like he comes in and plays 6 to 10 downs and then leaves the game with an injury. I know Whit had said rest was going to be the key. Can they take advantage of that against Oregon State, or do you expect him to play?
I kind of think he'll give it a crack. Who knows how explosive he'll be, how much he can handle, but I would be a little surprised if I don't see him at all. But I do think, you know, they're going to put most of that weight on Jalen Glover. Because they do need to get Jaquindon rested up, which is, again, another kind of frustrating situation. You have, a bunch of guys, a bunch of weapons that honestly could make things a lot easier for Nate. But instead, not only are you breaking in a young guy in Nate, which he's done a good job. I don't think anybody can, really look at what he's done and been terribly disappointed. But it is really hard. You know, when you're breaking yourself in with other guys that are kind of breaking themselves in because they haven't played a whole lot. And that's just kind of, I think, the biggest situation with Utah's offense at the moment is those kind of key veteran guys haven't necessarily been as available as Utah would have wanted them to be. And so you're breaking in a bunch of new guys. And when you break in a bunch of new guys, you have things stall out. You tend to play it a little careful. To try and make sure that, you know, big mistakes don't happen that can't be recovered from. And it's kind of been a whole thing for this team this year.
Can Chris Curry get on the field and continue to play a bigger role of I guess, lessening that burden on Jalen Glover?
I know that is the hope for the coaches. I don't know that it happens this week per se. I know he's close as well. but he's, according to Kyle Whittingham, still having some, like, lingering effects from that serious injury he had almost a year ago. And so it's just getting over that hump and I think feeling comfortable going full bore again. So hopefully he's in a place where he can contribute more because I do think he really could help the offense a lot. But he's in a wait-and-see situation, kind of like everybody else.
One weapon I thought Utah was really missing as we're talking to Michelle Bodkin, getting you ready for Utah and Oregon State last week against UCLA, and I think it actually changed how Utah managed their offense a little bit, was not having Cole Becker. Of course, they missed that first field goal opportunity and really seemed determined to go for it on fourth down pretty much after that. Do you expect Cole Becker back this weekend? Because in a low-scoring game, which I think this has the potential to be, he could be the difference.
Yeah, I think Cole would be immensely helpful for Utah to have. He's another guy that we might see him back, we might not see him back. I know it sounds so, like, just comical to say that about every single guy you're asking me about, but it's the darndest thing. I don't recall a time where it's like guys are close to being okay and being good to go, but they might also still not be. And I know it's a frustrating thing for these coaches. I know, you know, it's hard on the players too, because there's a little bit of, well, I still need to prepare in case I am the one that gets called up, but I might not be the one that's called up. And then, of course, the guys that are trying to get themselves right and get back into the swing of things and are also kind of doing that will I, won't I game week in and week out. It's been a very odd situation. And to be honest, it's very encouraging that Utah's 4-0 already and has the potential to go 5-0.
Yeah, do you think this game is a must-win for Utah if they hope to keep their Pac-12 title hopes alive?
I don't know that it's a must-win, but I think it makes their lives easier because after this game and after Cal, it gets really serious. That's when you get into having to play USC. That's when you have to get into playing Oregon, Washington, and, you know, those are going to be, I think, the toughest games for Utah, and especially if we're continuing on this will they won't they trend on the injury front with players. So I think, like, here the thing about it is, like, Oregon State is absolutely capable of beating Utah. I don't want to say that, but I don't think they pose as big of a threat based off of kind of what I've seen and what I've observed as maybe some of the other teams that are coming further down the line. So to me, it's more helpful if Utah goes into their bye week 5-0 and then takes care of things at home against Cal to go 6-0, and then, you know, just kind of try to do your best with those three really, really tough games that you have coming up on the back end of the schedule.
Do you think anyone's going to go undefeated in the Pac-12 this year?
I personally would be shocked, but it would be the most Pac-12 thing ever to have someone finally do it in the last year of its existence. So, I mean, I will never say never, but I think that's a doubtful for me.
Michelle Bodkin's our guest, the KSL Sports Zone. As we're trying to keep Michelle connected again, she is driving through traffic in Portland as she is headed to Corvallis to make sure she can catch this game as Utah takes on Oregon State. And what she described is not a must-win, but certainly a very important game. I do think, and one of my questions I'll be curious to ask Michelle when she gets back on is, how much has Utah's decision-making regarding personnel has been based on the schedule? And Michelle, I want to pick up with you there. How much do you think Utah has been able to plan for this season? And again, like, I don't know if it's being conservative resting guys. I've always been of the belief if they could have played Cam Rising at any point, they would have. If they could play Brant Keithy at any point, of course, they would have. But do you think that now that they are a week or a game away removed from a bye week, you've got a pretty soft landing against Cal, does that change their decision-making on how quickly they're putting these guys back on the field?
It maybe could. That's something that I found myself pondering a little bit, because it just feels like Utah at this point, I mean, you have to be feeling pretty good. If you can get past Oregon State and be 5-0, why wouldn't you maybe rest some of those key players one more week against Cal and then just be really ready to go to take on that last part of your schedule? And in a lot of ways, that makes a ton of sense to me. And if you could have your starters mostly 100% to 100% at a time when everybody else is maybe starting to get hit with the injury bug, it could be very advantageous for Utah. But at the same time, you know, coaches and players are competitive people, and they always want to put their best foot forward if they can. So I think it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. I think if I was them, personally, again, if you can get past Oregon State and be 5-0 going into your bye week, I think I would probably sit those guys through Cal, to be honest, and then be ready to rock the following week against USC.
Michelle, we've heard Kyle Whittingham say that Nate Johnson now has about 75% of the offense compared to Cam Rising, and then it's just about figuring out what he's comfortable doing. We certainly haven't seen 75% of the offense from Utah. Maybe they're able to practice it, but we don't see it out there. Do you think that's because they took an early 7-0 lead and 14-0 lead over UCLA, and before that they were playing Weber State, and he didn't even start the game before that? So is this just based on the fact that they haven't really had to open up the offense at any point yet?
I think there might be a little bit of that there. Now, granted, I think so. Part of it too is the execution rate as well. You know, and Nate kind of brought that up. He brought it up with Unrivaled earlier in the week. You know, we have to go out and execute what's being asked of us. And he didn't think that the Utah offense, himself included, did a particularly good job of that. And so, you know, if you're not executing the few things that you are being asked to execute well, it makes it really hard, I think, for the coaches to feel confident to open up the full playbook. But at the same time, I think they also kind of look at, well, this defense is just playing keep away with the other team's offense, and we feel good that they can kind of continue to do that. So, you know, maybe we do just kind of hold back, make sure that we don't put our guys in positions that they make mistakes that again, we can't come back from because we're playing young guys and they're still kind of learning. But I think at the same time, there comes a point where you have to start trusting your guys too. And I think last week was maybe a bit of a wake-up call to that. And so it's going to be really interesting to me to see if they don't let Nate loose a little bit more this week. I think it would honestly be better for the offense, and I think it would be better for Nate Johnson too. I mean, he is the future. At some point, you do have to trust him to kind of start doing normal things you would do with the offense.
Michelle, where are you on Oregon State? Before the season, I said they were a dark horse to win the Pac-12, and they still could be because they have a very easy schedule. They get to avoid USC this year. They've got some key games at home. But I was surprised to see them lose to Washington State. And we can go back and say, oh, well, it was a 38-35-point game in Washington. But truthfully, that game was 35-14, excuse me, with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Like, truly, Washington State blew them out, and Oregon State scored 21 points in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't ever really all that close. Washington State was able to just kneel on the ball at the end of the game and win it somewhat comfortably without ever really being in danger of losing. So where are you on Oregon State? Are they better than you expected? Are they still a threat to win the Pac-12? Are they a little below what you had thought with DJ Uiagalelei coming in from Clemson?
I would say they feel a little below what I was expecting. But I mean, in fairness, that it was always a possibility because there were some questions about they have some key players that are no longer on their defense that made that defense so good last year. And it looks like they maybe haven't quite gelled and figured that part of it out. And then, you know, you talk about DJU. The storyline of his career has been there are times when he looks really hot and unstoppable, and there's other times where he looks like a mere mortal. In the past 2 weeks against Washington State and San Diego State, You know, he's just looked okay. He hasn't looked like a huge threat. And so, you know, I think unfortunately Oregon State's going to get that mixed bag DJU. Now, with that said, could he light things up today against Utah? Possibly. Anything's within the realm of possibility, and we've definitely seen that happen before with a Utah team where a team doesn't look that threatening, and then all of a sudden their guy has, you know, a career day for whatever reason against Utah's defense. I think this defense for Utah is too dialed in. I think DJU is going to have a hard time. So really it's going to be about, can Oregon State's defense do enough to kind of keep their offense in the game and really slow down Utah's offense? And that, based off of what we've seen the last couple of weeks, that I could see happening. But it's just going to depend on, you know, how much does Utah decide to open up the playbook? How confident do they feel in Nate Johnson really kind of taking the reins and doing some things, kind of doing more what they asked him to do against Baylor than what they've asked him to do against Weber State and UCLA the past 2 weeks. If we get more Baylor Nate Johnson, then I think it's a long day for Oregon State. If we kind of get put it in neutral Nate Johnson and Utah offense, then it could end up being a very, very close and interesting game.
How many points does Utah need to score to win this game?
I mean, the last couple of games, they barely needed to crack 20. So, I think as long as you can kind of get within that 20-something range, I think Utah's probably fine in this game.
That was Michelle Bodkin. I think we lost her in traffic. We will let Michelle focus on getting to Corvallis safely. Make sure you read her at KSLSports.com, our University of Utah insider. And I'm with her there. I mean, what, Utah could have won each of their last two games, what is it, by just scoring 8 points? they held both of the last two teams to 7 points. So we certainly know that Utah is extremely dangerous defensively. Are they going to be able to keep that up against Oregon State, who at times has shown an ability to put up some points? Like we said, yeah, they came back and scored 35 against Washington State, but they had only scored 14 through the first, 40 minutes of that game, and really just kind of came back late once it was already out of hand. Now, maybe that was the momentum that that offense has been looking for, and they're going to bounce back. They weren't great offensively against San Diego State, who has a decent defense 2 weeks ago either. I think Utah's going to keep this a low-scoring game. And yeah, if Utah can manage 21, 28 points, I think they have a real shot to win this game. The hard part is 14 of those points may have to come from the defense. And if that's something they can do, they'll have a great chance to win. They did that last year against Oregon State. You remember Clark Phillips opened the game with that pick six. I think they had another one later in the game or a scoop and score. But regardless, Utah's defense is that dangerous, and they do have a chance to find a way to put up points to keep Utah and Nate Johnson in this game. Then he's going to have to figure out how to move the ball with his legs, maybe a little bit with his arm, and a lot of that's going to have to do with what Andy Ludwig is able to figure out for Utah to make sure that they can stay competitive. Because a win here going into a bye week and then taking on Cal late in the or in mid-October, October 14th, would give them a real shot to have great momentum going into the season, where you're going to be, as weird as it sounds, despite the fact that you haven't had healthy bodies, you might be one of the healthier teams in the conference. If you can get Cam Rising back, you can get Brant Keithy back, you can get Jaquindon Jackson back and playing without taking as many hits as other guys have once they get into that stretch run of the season, I think that's going to be a big, big positive for Utah, but it's going to be mainly a key about getting those guys back and healthy when they are ready to go. We're hanging out live at Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. You can also give them a call and schedule your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Cindy, let's talk about that a little bit. If someone calls in, says, hey, I want to have somebody come out and look at my house, I mean, what are we talking about? How quickly can you get somebody out to their home? How quickly can a project get going?
We can usually set up an appointment within 4 or 5 days, and we're pretty flexible about coming out to the home. And we do like to come out to people's homes so we can do measurements, so we can look at their project, so we can look at the style of their home and make recommendations about maybe products or styles they haven't considered. Because we have a family of products, so we can make a wide range of recommendations based on your home and its age and what we feel maybe would update it or give it, you know, just unlock the potential of your home and see what we can do to make some transformations for you.
And I think one of the things that I'm always surprised by is, you know, the sizes of these doors are not the standard sizes you see when you go into the big box. You can actually customize like a 16-foot door. I mean, it doesn't have to just be, oh, well, this is the sliding glass door I have coming off my kitchen, or these are the bifold doors I have coming off my master. No, you can totally customize, change how it fits in your entire house.
Well, and the nice thing that we're able to do is if you're replacing something in your home and you want to replace it the same size as you have, we can custom size it so it can fit nice and tight. It won't be like a stock size off a shelf. So we want to customize it. And if you want to enlarge the opening, then we can customize it to whatever size is appropriate. We did a kitchen where we took out a little kitchen window over sink and we put in 18 feet of windows across the kitchen and totally customized that kitchen with a whole new look and, you know, wall-to-wall windows so that they took advantage of the outdoors and their view. So we have unlimited possibilities. And that's what differentiates us from a lot of other people out there in the marketplace is we want to do something different for you. We don't want to be cookie cutter. And, you know, the secret to our success is our staff. They are secret sauce, and they do incredible things and have incredible visions. And they're more than just people who do window and door projects. They're designers, they're innovators, and they work with you to do something unique for your home. And, you know, you deserve it. You deserve to have whatever you want in your home and to upgrade your home.
Well, it's your home. It's your biggest expense in your life. It's where you spend most of your time. It's where you have your memories with your family. It might as well be the home you want it to be.
When you're exactly right. It's where you spend all your time, and you want it to be a place that you want to spend all your time, where you want to go to get away from the stress of life and go relax and enjoy and find peace and tranquility.
You've also got the European tilt and turn windows exclusive here. You're not even going to find them anywhere else that may try and say that, hey, we can do custom this or cut. They don't even have the opportunity to put these windows in your home because you're an exclusive distributor in the entire West of some of these windows.
That's correct. We've got a distributorship for these European windows. It's German technology, and we're exclusive for Salt Lake City and to the West. And the amazing thing about the tilt and turn windows is how they operate and their energy efficiency and their sound control. They reduce sound from the outside. You're able to control your ventilation, and they're amazingly secure. They have amazing energy properties, lock properties. Their design is German technology that the Europeans have had for decades that's now available in Salt Lake. The coolest thing about them, from my point of view, is they open to the inside so I can wash the inside and the outside of the window on the inside of my home. I don't have to go outside
no
on a
ladder.
Yeah. No ladder.
No, they're very cool because you're right. They open in, but you can still do the kind of traditional open. They swing open or they can tilt the top for the ventilation. And the nice thing is about the sound. I will say this. Everywhere I go in Salt Lake, there's construction. There is construction everywhere, which means there's sound everywhere and there's more traffic everywhere. You can block that out with newer windows. And some of these European windows have higher standards than we have in the U.S. And if you can't get them anywhere else, come on down and make sure you have the best standards, the highest standards here at Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West, or give them a call, 801-566-1255, or find them online, peachbuildingproducts.com. Cindy, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Ben.
When we come back, I believe it's number 17. Sarah in the Jazz 50 Greatest Players of All Time, Thurl Bailey yesterday. Maybe a controversial name today. Stick around. I'll be curious what listeners think. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Cougars return home for a key Big 12 showdown against Cincinnati. Your home for the best coverage of Cougar football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, presented by Any Hour Services on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. A very happy game day Friday to everybody out there. We are hanging out live at Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West. Going to be here for about another 30 minutes, but always love being down here, checking out the latest technology and the latest ways you can improve your home. Check them out online. PeachBuildingProducts.com. That's PeachBuildingProducts.com. Good conversations with Mitch Harper and Michelle Bodkin previewing BYU and Utah's games tonight. If you've missed those, go check them out, KSLSports.com. We'll also post the press conference earlier today from Will Hardy and Justin Zanuck as the Utah Jazz prepare to open training camp. Technically, beginning Monday is media day. They will fly to Hawaii midday, and Tuesday they will be underway getting ready for their game a week from Sunday against the Clippers. I can't believe the season's already here, but you have full coverage at KSLSports.com, and I will have a write-up on that presser from earlier today at KSLSports.com. With that said, it's time for number 17 on your Utah Jazz top 50 players of all time, as voted on by media members and the fans. Sarah, let's get to number 17.
It's the 50th year of Jazz basketball, and the Zone is counting you down to this historic season by naming the top 50 Jazz players of all time, as voted on by the local media and you, the fans. And now, here's today's selection.
At number 17 in the Jazz 50 countdown, forward Lauri Markkanen. Acquired by the Jazz in a blockbuster trade that sent Donovan Mitchell to Cleveland, Markkanen was an all-star in his first season in Utah. In 66 games, the forward has averaged 25.5 points and 8.5 rebounds for the Jazz.
The top 50 Jazz players of all time, presented by UCCU Love Where You Bank. On your home of Utah Jazz basketball, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Number 17, Ben, Lauri Markkanen. One season already at 17?
66 games. Not a lot of games. But look, I will say this. I remember, do you remember the 50th anniversary team in the NBA? What was it, 96 or whatever it was? Mm-hmm. And everyone was mad that Shaq was on it. And now it's like, Shaq's the eighth best player in NBA history. Or, wherever you want to put him, I get it. 66 games for Lauri Markkanen is a very small sample size. He averaged 25 points, 8 rebounds, 40% from the three-point line, started in an all-star game at home, nearly led the Jazz to the playoffs. In fact, I think you and I both agree, had the Jazz played him, they would have gone to the playoffs, probably at least the play-in tournament. Lauri belongs on this list. And as he accrues time here, it's a no-doubter. But if people want to have a qualm that he shouldn't be here yet after just 66 games, I guess I would listen to that.
Yeah, one season. Although he's not top 10 either.
No, he's not top 10. You know, and in 4 or 5 years, if he's still here.
Could easily be.
And performs anywhere similar to this level. I mean, how many Jazz players ever average 25 in a season? It's like 4 guys.
Let alone 25 and 8. Karl Malone's got to be the only other one who did that, right?
I would think so. Yeah, right. I mean, not many people have ever averaged those types of numbers, especially at that level of efficiency. I mean, it's crazy. Chuck Robinson averaged 23 and 15. Like, those are big numbers. Yeah. But 25 and 8, and can probably get up 28 points this season, 29 points this season. I don't think that would be all that shocking. So, high for his short tenure in Utah, but I think a very real chance 3 years from now, he could be like number 7 or 8 on this list.
Let me ask you this, though. 3 years from now, is he the best player on the team?
Yeah, he might not be. He might not be on the team with today's NBA. And
well,
I
let's
guess
assume
that,
he is. But, I mean, is he the number one on a contending team?
I actually think he might be good enough to do that. I honestly do. I think he might be good enough to do that. And that's extremely high praise off of a very small sample size with 66 games again. If he plays like this for 3 more seasons, I mean, I think he right now he's good enough to be the best player on a contending team. The team around him's got to get a lot better.
Sure.
But he's an all-star starter and a borderline all-NBA player.
Was Donovan Mitchell ultimately able to be the best player on a contending team? Not really. I guess you could say the Jazz contended, I suppose.
Yeah, they had the best record in the NBA. I will say this. I think Lauri Markkanen's season last year was better than any Donovan Mitchell ever had in Utah.
I'd listen to that argument.
Yeah. I
mean,
would,
you could argue for Donovan, too, don't get me wrong, but I'd listen to it.
Barring 17 seasons of Karl Malone being one of the best players in the NBA for 17 straight years like he was with the Jazz once he really kind of hit his prime and was a perennial all-star, if you were to take those out because it's such ridiculous numbers, Lowry's individual season last year was probably top five in Jazz history if you exclude Karl's run.
Yeah, but if he takes a step back, we'll forget all about it.
Yeah, we will. We will.
So that's kind of the where the only playing here one season comes in, honestly. Like, again, I've told you this a million times. When we had season tickets to the Charlotte Hornets, Kelly Trepucco was an all-star and averaged 20 points per game. Never did that again.
Sure, never did it again.
And nobody remembers Kelly Trepucco.
Correct.
Right? Outside of me, who brings it up on the radio once a year.
Right, right.
Nobody remembers that guy.
So, yeah, it's very possible that this was lightning in a bottle.
If he takes a step back, I'm not betting on that, but if he does, then all of a sudden it's, oh, we had that one great year, move him down.
Yep. And, you know, that's why I like this list. This list is evergreen. It doesn't mean it's always going to be right, but it's always going to be around. And we will get to go back and look at this list in 10 years at the 60th anniversary and be like, Lowry was 17? He'll either be, like, 35 or like 6.
Yeah.
I don't think he stays at 17. I would be surprised if that happens.
By the way, is Kelly Trepucco, I'm assuming he's still coming.
Yeah, he's in the top four.
He's top four?
Top four.
Kelly's still coming. I assumed he was.
No. Kelly does not make the list, unfortunately.
What?
Yeah, I know.
No?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
So we'll see. We'll see with Lowry.
What about Eric Lechner?
No, Eric Murdoch doesn't make the list either. Only two All-Star players, but we were into this All-Star run now. Mike Conley, obviously on Wednesday, was our first All-Star. Lauri Markkanen here today. And then almost from here on out, it's all All-Stars.
Lauri Markkanen, number 17.
All right, Jazz fans, what do you think? 66 games for Lauri Markkanen. Is that enough to justify being ranked number 17 overall? Hard to argue with his numbers, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, super efficient as a scorer. And again, had the Jazz really pushed to put him into the postseason, they probably could have gotten there. Let us know. You can always follow us on Twitter or X at KSL Sports. And if you can follow me, I tweet these out there as well at Ben's Hoops. But right now, it's time for a view into the Pac-12.
Looking into the biggest storylines across college football. It's a view into the Pac-12 brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JP's progression as a player is what every coach wants out of all their guys. You know, you see the progression of the offensive piece, the understanding conceptually of what you're doing, and then just a commitment to transform his body and improve it continually. I think he's one of the hardest workers we have, both in and out of season, and I think it's really showing. And so to see him come out and kind of match suit really with what Rome and J-Mac have done in the offseason and built their game up, and I think JP is just showing that, you know, he's put in just as much, if not more, work than everybody else. And I think that he'll only get better. I think his best football is ahead of him.
JP is, of course, Jalen Polk, the wide receiver at Washington. That was UW offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, talking about that explosive offense that Washington has and put them in a spot where a lot of people think they are in contention to be one of the best teams in the country and a bona fide playoff contender. They just crushed Cal. Have another relatively easy game, I would think, on the road tomorrow. They're going to take on Arizona. They've got a bye week. Then they're going to face Oregon. Both teams coming off a bye, but that game is at Washington, at home in Seattle. Home against Arizona State. They go at Stanford. Then they get USC on the road. Utah at home, at Oregon State, and then home against Washington State. Those last four games are brutal. You know what? That's the case for everyone in the big in the Pac-12. All of those major contenders really seem to face off going head-to-head in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, the Utes not excluded. Your view into the Pac-12 is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows. Peach is Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Give them a call today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. When we come back, we will get you ready for Hans and Scotty on a Football Friday. Stick around. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
home for the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. It's a huge battle for the Utes as they hit the road to take on Oregon State. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, presented by Any Hour Services on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We've been hanging out live all day at Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South and 300 West. We've got Hans and Scotty coming up next as they can continue to get you ready for BYU and Cincinnati tonight, and of course Utah and Oregon State. But let's bring in Cindy from Peach Doors and Windows. Cindy, what have we missed? Well, we've talked about custom doors. We've talked about changing out windows and increasing not just the functionality, but the efficiency of them. But, I mean, really, the possibilities are endless. I know we've missed a lot, despite the fact that we've talked about so many of the different things that you can do.
Well, one thing I just wanted to mention is we are in control of a project because we have all of our employees in-house. And that's not something our competitors do. Most of our employees have decades of experience in what they do, and we rely upon our installers. They are our secret sauce because they will take good care of you. So our quality installation, and you can read about our installation and the quality of our products. We have close to 500 five-star reviews. And so go ahead and read our Google reviews. That says a lot about us.
I think that's a great reminder because still, I mean, if you've worked on a project and they've had to hire outside, whoever you bring in says, well, no, we got to go get this other installer or this contractor here and all these different, you know, services that they're hiring out. Well, then you're at the beck and call of how quickly they can get to you. And if they've got several other jobs, I mean, that can hold up your entire project for several months. And that's not something you're going to have to worry about because, again, you're building the windows. You've got the windows here. You can customize it for somebody's home. And you're working with them from the very beginning of this process to the end.
Right. And we want to make it as turnkey and as easy as possible for you. And we don't want you to be overwhelmed. We want you to just sit back and enjoy the process and let us be in control. And one thing that we feel like we're extremely good at, that a lot of contractors get a bad rap for, is not communicating. I mean, how many times nowadays do you call someone and leave a message and they don't call you back? We try to answer the phone. We try to communicate with you. We try to update you. We try to keep you informed. And when we say we're going to be there Thursday morning for your install, we're there Thursday morning for the install.
Well, come on down, check out the showroom. We actually just had a couple of people walk in, and they're testing out the doors. They want to see what it feels like to have them slide open, what the handles feel like, what the weight is of the door. That's great. That's not something you can do at every store. You can't check out exactly what it's going to feel like to have that door handle in your hand, to see the windows themselves, to see what it feels like to slide them open and close, check out the European tilt and turn windows. Really, I promise you, come on down, check out the showroom. Super warm, super inviting, and Cindy, you and your staff are just incredible.
Thanks, Ben. We're glad you're here today. Have a great weekend.
2940 South, 300 West, 2940 South, 300 West. Check them out online. Peach Doors and Windows. Check them out online if you're going to go check them out. It's peachbuildingproducts.com. But again, stop on by, see the showroom, 2940 South, 300 West. You can also call and schedule a free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, 801-566-1255. Sarah, thanks for running everything back in the studio all week. Jake will be back with us next Monday. Always excited to see what happens there. And, of course, we'll have a full breakdown on games for you. But stick around. Hans and Scotty coming up next. It's Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.